It ain't over in Mexico.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Felipe Calderon is the official winner of the presidential race in Mexico, but with a victory margin as thin as 0.6%, it's no surprise that opponent Andrés Manuel López Obrador is protesting. He's vowed to legally challenge the result and has called for mass demonstrations. Some have expressed concern about the impact that could have on the country's economy, but Denise Dresser, a political analyst in Mexico City, doesn't think it will matter much.
Mexico is pretty well prepared for them. I don't anticipate apocalyptic scenarios for this country. This is not Mexico 20 years ago. I think the country has done a great deal in terms of cleaning up its electoral institutions and generating a sense of confidence. And pressure against Andrés Manuel López Obrador is going to mount for him to eventually concede.
But Sergio Sarmiento, a commentator for TV Azteca in Mexico City, says political uncertainty could lead to a major devaluation of the peso. That, he says, could have an immediate negative influence on Mexicans.
The first impact you see is a decline in the sales of sectors that sell to the public at large, retail, for example, except for essentials. Of course, we also see a drop in sales of products that are either imported or that have a large percentage of imported inputs. And now with the globalization of the Mexican economy, that actually means probably 50 or 60% of the goods in the Mexican economy.
Calderon says the vote was fair and has accepted congratulatory calls from President Bush and other world leaders. All of those who feel immigrants are a critical part of this country's economy will say, "I told you so," when they hear this story. Florida is in danger of having its worst orange harvest since 1992. It's not bad weather, but politics that's the culprit. Citrus industry officials say they don't have enough workers. They claim all the talk of immigration crackdowns is making it hard to find Hispanic workers. They're predicting 3 to 6 million boxes of oranges could go unpicked this year. The man who bought the world the bagless vacuum cleaner sees a crisis for Britain. James Dyson thinks a shortage of engineers is putting the nation's economy in jeopardy. From London, Stephen Beard says Dyson is planning to create an engineering college in the UK.
Without more engineers, the British economy could in the long term fall apart, says Dyson. His new college aims to teach engineering to 2,500 14 to 18-year-olds. Dyson laments the fact that in the land of Brunel and Stevenson, media studies and psychology are vastly more popular subjects than engineering. He fears that Britain is in danger of falling way behind the fast industrializing nations of the East.
China, for example, is producing 15 times as many engineers as we are in Britain. And I think it's very important that we excite young children to become engineers so that we can go on to establish big businesses and profit-earning things for this country.
His own engineering skills have generated a very big business. His bagless vacuum cleaner has generated global sales worth $5.5 billion. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Well, the market plunged on Friday. The Dow fell 134 points to 11,090. The Nasdaq dropped 25 points to 2130. And the S&P was off 8 points at 1265. And in Tokyo this morning, the Nikkei way up 245 points. This is Marketplace. A lot of very important people making their way to Sun Valley, Idaho today. The gathering takes place every year at this time. But Marketplace's Lisa Napoli says the event may be losing a bit of its luster.
For the past quarter century, media moguls have gathered each summer in Sun Valley, Idaho, for a week of networking and deal making. It's sponsored by investment bankers Allen & Company. But some say the confab is losing its luster. Michael Wolf is the media columnist for Vanity Fair.
It's probably less an important event because the whole media business is coming apart.
What with creations like YouTube and TiVo changing the way we consume media. Still, Wolf says deals continue to get done just by virtue of the powerhouses who show up and hang out. Consider this item on the agenda: Michael Eisner interviewing Rupert Murdoch, Barry Diller, and Sir Howard Stringer. I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
You're listening to American Public Media.
The Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, helping nearly 3 million members achieve financial security and give back to their communities and congregations. Thrivent.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, on the web at kauffman.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. For the second time in 2 days, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan has demanded that Israel prevent a humanitarian disaster in the Gaza Strip. Israel has rejected a call from the Hamas-led Palestinian government for a ceasefire. They have said there would be no truce until a captured Israeli soldier is freed. 2 weeks ago, an Israeli air raid on a power station crippled the power supply to the Gaza region. That impacted water and sewage plants, which depend upon electricity to run their pumps. And that's led to a run on things like candles and water. Merchants that sell water have seen their sales soar. Iris Meckler tells us about one in particular.
Hussam Alamasi runs one of the oldest and most expensive water retail outlets in Gaza. A one-gallon jug costs about 45 cents, and a 1,000-litre drum sets customers back almost $10. Without electricity, Elamasi must use generators to power the filtration system. But he won't pass that cost on to customers. One recent afternoon, people queue outside his shop to fill plastic containers and hand over their shekels.
I see he's taking a cup to drink. Does he work for him?
Occasionally, a person walks in off the street and takes a cup of water without paying for it.
Somebody, if you want to drink something, you can.
Really? They just come to drink?
Yeah.
He says it's no big deal. They're thirsty and it's hot, so why not?
It's a cup of water. It's not 20-litre gallon.
Elamasi's been here in the centre of Gaza City since 1998, purifying Gaza's poor quality water, then adding minerals and fluoride to make it drinkable and good for you. That's why people pay him twice as much as most other water sellers.
I add sodium, magnesium, calcium and potassium chlorides, and then balance the acidity. I make mineral water. This quality is the secret of my success. Some other companies just extract water from the ground and sell it as is, without adding anything.
Elamasi says that since the Israeli airstrike on Gaza's only power plant, business has been booming. People no longer have reliable supplies of water in their homes, and they're flocking to his shop.
Is that, I think, in
50%? Yes, it's a 50% increase in sales. I used to sell one of those tankers a week, and now I sell two. But I won't increase the price. I'm frightened of losing my customers. The prices stay as they're written on the wall.
Elamasi sells 2 gallons of water to Saeed El Randour, an engineer who usually filters his water at home. But the filter uses power, and now with the outages, it's out of action. He could hardly find a container in all of Gaza to bring along here.
We're facing a problem in my house and getting even water. Yesterday there was none at all, and I had a problem preparing milk for my baby. So today I go around the market, and this container takes me more than an hour to find.
The power plant hit by Israeli planes 2 weeks ago suffered major structural damage, and experts say it will take weeks to repair. Until then, power and water supplies will remain a problem here. In the Gaza Strip, I'm Iris Meckler for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Southwest Airlines is all.